Welcome to Community Accent, WFCO's public affairs program, where we keep you informed on the issues and events that are happening right here in Fairfield County. And now your host for Community Accent, Mike Miller.
Good morning. I'm Beth Borgen, filling in again for the vacationing Mike Miller here on this morning's Community Accent. Thank you for listening to 90.9 FM. We sure do appreciate you tuning in today. And I've got a couple of guests here on this morning's program. I have one who is a local lady who spends a lot of time anyway around the world in China. And then in the second half of the show, we've got some local folks here from the Fairfield Department of Health. So my first guest then this morning is Rebecca Fannin. And if there are any local longtime residents out there, they might know who Rebecca Fannin is. Rebecca is from Lancaster, and she graduated from Lancaster High School in what year, Rebecca?
1973.
And Rebecca travels the world as a journalist, and you write for a whole bunch of magazines, and now you've just written your very first book, haven't you, Rebecca?
Yes, my first book.
What is that?
It's called Silicon Dragon, How China is Winning the Tech Race, and it's published by McGraw-Hill, and it's coming out in January.
In January. Well, that's just a week away.
Yes.
Well, Rebecca, what is Silicon Dragon about? What's the book about?
It's about a new Silicon Valley that's emerging in China and how we are seeing the next Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos coming out of China.
Well, why are you in China? Let's start there.
Well, I'm in China because after I graduated from OU, I moved to New York City. I got into magazine journalism. I became an editor of an international business magazine. They sent me to China in 1992, my first trip there. And I've been going back ever since. I became captivated by the place. I started writing for some Hong Kong-based publications. And I have an office now in Hong Kong and an office now in Beijing, too, so it makes it easy to go over about once a quarter.
Do you speak Chinese?
No, I'm learning. Very difficult.
Is it difficult?
Yes, because of the tones.
Oh, really?
If you go high in the note, high in the word, an upward tilt to the word, it can mean something different from a low tilt to the word.
Like so, an inflection type of
thing. Yes,
yes. Is that something?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your book, Silicon Dragon. You know, we have a Silicon Valley, the original one, I guess, here in the United States.
Right.
And you're saying that this area of China is going to be like the next Silicon Valley. How's that going to impact the original Silicon Valley? Will there be any impact at all?
Well, I do think there will be an impact. I think you're starting to see technology innovations coming out of Shanghai and Beijing and other inland cities in China, and it will give Silicon Valley some new competition. Some of the best and the brightest from Silicon Valley are now returning to China and doing startups there now, where they in the past they would have done them in Silicon Valley. So that is having an impact on job creation here in the U.S.
Really? Mm-hmm. How do you have any idea what we might experience here as a result of that, or the Chinese might experience over there?
I think we're going to start seeing some new standards of technology come out of China, whereas in the past, America set the standards. We had Intel and Cisco and Apple and Microsoft and all these tech companies come out of the U.S., and in the future, I think we'll see them coming out of China.
And this is a good thing, huh?
Well,
for them.
I think the jury's out on that one, but I think we're living in a world competitive marketplace today, and I think it will be good for everyone, particularly for the consumer, if products improve as a result.
Yeah. You have in your press release that you sent me, it says, remember what Japanese car makers did to Detroit when they entered the U.S. market in the late 1970s. I mean, people should take notice of that then, right?
I think so. I think it's a good analogy. For instance, look at Japanese companies, what share of the market they have now, and actually how they have forced American car makers to make improvements in their own vehicles.
Mm-hmm. So competition's always a good thing.
Competition's a good thing.
Well, another thing that I saw in here in a note about your book was that it's like a The country is like a virtual Silicon Valley at the height of the dot-com boom. And if you've been in the United States here since, the 90s, when the dot-com boom was booming, it kind of went flat. So, Rebecca, tell us, how was this one maybe in China going to differ from, have they learned from our mistakes here that we made? Or did we make mistakes? You know, what kind of happened there? And what do you see that maybe China can improve upon, I guess?
Right. Well, I was at Red Herring Magazine, which was the leading industry publication for the whole dot-com boom. And I was there during the height of the boom in the late 1990s and early 2000. So I saw that boom, a front row seat there. I also saw the bust, the downward part of that cycle. I'm starting to see some of the same patterns repeating in China.
Really?
For instance, now they are going through this incredible boom of all of this venture capital money that's flowing into China for hundreds of startups. And prices are going up. Entrepreneurs are getting stingier about giving away stakes in their company to these venture capital investors. And we are starting to see some reversing of that trend now, where people are saying, well, we won't pay that price then. We won't do that. So we are beginning to see this, the bubble and the burst cycle happening in China. I don't think it will be as severe as what we had happen here in the Valley, because there's just so much growth left in China and so much opportunity left there.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk some more about your book. Just, what do you want readers to know about your book, Silicon Dragon?
Well, it's actually a series of profiles of leading Chinese entrepreneurs. I have gone to China many times and interviewed these leading Chinese company founders. Many of them are getting their first exposure to the Western press. I have all the fresh and original content in the book. It hasn't been reported elsewhere. I have their life stories and their fascinating stories. Some of them came out of the Cultural Revolution and had to fight being social outcast and have all kinds of setbacks that we couldn't have imagined here in the U.S. And they have risen above that, and they have incredible drive. So I think that one of the takeaways of the book is just to look at these people as examples of where China is going. These people are very switched on, very motivated, very passionate. It's what I saw in Silicon Valley 10, 15 years ago. Now at that level, maybe even higher in China. So I think I try to show through these examples of these profiles of these individuals what's happening.
Mm-hmm. You make some comparison. Well, I don't want to call them comparisons, but the Chinese have the American equivalent of Amazon, Yahoo, Google, YouTube, and MySpace there in China. Now, these are their versions. These aren't borrowed from or purchased from the U.S. and, put their name on it. They've actually developed these themselves. Speak about those.
Yeah, in a way, they are copycat models of what we already have here in the U.S. So the Chinese have this rap about being copycats, and certainly this would fall into that area. So in the first part of the book, I profile these copycats. Many of these founders of the copycats are educated here in the U.S. and got experience here in the U.S., saw what was working here in the U.S., and then went back to China and set up their own Me Too company. But the second half of the book talks about these innovators who are now the second generation of tech entrepreneurs who are coming out of China and what they're doing. And they actually have some cutting-edge technologies that we haven't seen elsewhere around the globe. So China is actually coming up with some technology innovations that haven't been seen elsewhere yet.
So they're borrowing from us, but they're improving upon it.
They're borrowing and improving. And yeah, also coming out with first-time inventions as well.
Like anything you can speak about?
Well, one company has a technology for light-emitting diodes, LEDs, mm-hmm, and is very advanced. It's a cheaper way of making LEDs. They say that the inventor of this LED technology will be the next Thomas Edison. I think we'll see about that.
Next Thomas Edison, that's huge. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Community Accent here on Fairfield County's refreshing 90.9 FM. I'm News Director Beth Borgen. I'm sitting in for Mike Miller today, who is out on vacation, and my guest is Rebecca Fannin. She is the author of a very new book that, well, is just coming out right now as we speak. It's called Silicon Dragon, and it goes behind the scenes to show how the sleeping giant China has reawakened and is challenging the U.S. for global technology leadership. So, what prompted you then, Rebecca, to write this book? Why did you feel it was necessary to write a book about this?
I started meeting some of these Chinese entrepreneurs, and I was fascinated by them, and I wanted to tell their story to the world. Their story had not been told, and I thought it was a good parallel with what I had seen in Silicon Valley, too. So I thought it was, in a way, a wake-up call for the U.S. Hey, look what's happening here. We've got to get our act together as well. So that's what prompted me to write it.
Are you getting any reviews yet on your book?
I just got a review in Publishers Weekly. It came out December 24th, and I got a copy of it yesterday. And I got a very favorable review.
Yay.
I'm so happy about it because I've read some of the other reviews in Publishers Weekly, and I was a little nervous about it, but I got a very favorable review, so I'm happy.
Now, do you think that the business people, the Steve Jobs and all the oh gosh, my mind is going blank now, should read this book and see what's going on and see what the competition is all about?
Yeah, I think that they should.
Yeah? You want to send them a copy?
Yes, I will.
Now, did you write this book entirely by yourself?
Yes, I surely did.
You did. And how long?
A labor of love.
A labor of love. How long did it take you?
It took about 8 months of writing time, mm-hmm, and about 4 months of interviewing, mm-hmm, because all the interviews were done in China.
And you conducted them yourself?
I conducted them myself, face to face, and several interviews with each one of these entrepreneurs. So I know their life stories from A to Z. And so it was actually, this book came together fairly quickly. I signed the contract with McGraw-Hill to do the book October 15th, and I had it finished the next year, October 15th.
Wow.
Record time.
Record time, I guess. You going to write some more?
Absolutely, I'm going to write some more. I have a couple of ideas. All of them related to international business topics.
Now, we were talking off the air before we started the program, and we were talking about the access that you had to these professionals who you have interviewed for your book. And you were kind of surprised that you were able to speak so freely and so openly with these people, gentlemen. And then there's a lady in there, too.
Right.
How did you feel about that?
Well, it was wonderful to have such open access. And it was a bit surprising because after being a journalist in the U.S. for so many years and having everything controlled by public relations professionals who would give you access to CEOs or not give you access to CEOs and control what the CEOs said, in China I had direct access to these people. I sat down with them in coffee shops, in bars, in their offices with nobody listening in, no censorship. No sign of that. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any sign of any Chinese government officials following me. It's been a totally open environment.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens after the book comes out, whether I'll still be able to go back into the country. But I feel sure I will be.
Well, Rebecca Fannin is my guest, and she's a Lancaster resident, graduate of Lancaster High School, class of 1973. You have a family, Rebecca? Husband, children?
I do. My husband is here, and his name's John Delmar. He's a New York City attorney.
Oh.
Yeah. And my mom's here in Lancaster. I have a sister in Chicago and brother-in-law in Chicago and a brother and sister-in-law in Columbus.
Do you?
Yes, and lots of relatives in Southern Ohio as well.
So you came home for Christmas to visit?
I did, yes.
Yeah, and how's your visit been?
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, and the weather's been cooperating, so that's been nice too.
How does the weather differ between here and China?
Well, it's pretty similar. Beijing is fairly similar to the weather here.
Is that where you were, in Beijing?
Yeah, I was in Beijing a lot and because I have an office there, but I was also in Shanghai and southern China and some other cities too. But the weather's pretty similar to here. The main difference is that it's very polluted.
Ooh, really?
Very polluted, Yes.
Are they working on that?
They are working on that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because the Beijing Olympics is this year is 2008, mm-hmm. and they are steadily making improvements. They know they have to, or the athletes are not going to be able to perform.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that would be a hindrance. Well, you didn't mention Hong Kong. Why is that?
Well, I didn't mention Hong Kong, although that's always been my mainstay when I go to China. I started out in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. and it was always a springboard to other parts of Asia. Hong Kong is still, as you know, Hong Kong went through the handover to the mainland China mm-hmm. in 1997. I was there at the time. And Hong Kong is today a financial capital of China. And all of the technology and manufacturing and the raw industries are coming from mainland China. But Hong Kong exists as a trading and a financial capital, much like New York City functions for the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it will always be a part of the whole action.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll always have a fond place for me because that's where I got my start in China, was in Hong Kong.
Excellent. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for stopping in today. And when you write your next books and when you're in town again, please give us a call and stop by and see us. We'd love to talk with you again, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome, and be safe in your travels out there, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You are listening to Community Accent. I'm News Director Beth Borgen, filling in for the vacationing Mike Miller. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the ladies from the Fairfield Department of Health after this.